Welcome back. Today we are exploring a subject that is really fundamental to the Christian life, how we are called to love and act in the world.
And our source for this is Brother Roger's powerful recent evening message on charity.
It was. And our mission today is really to distill the core wisdom from that message. It's built on this fascinating duality.
It is. You have the wartime perspective of C.S. Lewis on this unconditional, willful love.
Paired with the discipline, discernment-focused teaching of John MacArthur on practical, modern giving.
And we really need to see how these two giants inform how you can approach action in a world that, let's face it, often feels confusing.
And sometimes hostile. He addressed that right at the start of the message, didn't he?
He did, the opening prayer requests. I mean, calling for prayer for the Jewish community in Australia after that horrible act of hate.
And for our own nation, it sets a very serious tone. This isn't just theory.
Not at all. It's about how the church acts as a light against very tangible darkness.
So that really sets the stakes. When we talk about charity, we're talking about spiritual warfare.
Expressed through our hands and our wallets.
Let's start at the foundation then, which is C.S. Lewis. He just cuts through all the sentimentalism.
He does. For Lewis, Christian love, what he calls charity, it's not primarily an emotion.
Or a feeling.
It's a state of the will. And that one distinction is the essential insight.
It changes everything. Because if Christian love depended on, you know, feeling affectionate, most of us would fail.
Constantly. Lewis is clear that liking people is neither a sin nor a virtue. It's just a preference. The moral reality is found in what we do.
Regardless of how we feel.
Exactly.
That's a hard distinction, though. We're so conditioned to believe love has to feel good. But Lewis gives us this simple, deeply practical instruction.
It's incredible. He says, don't waste your time bothering whether you love your neighbor.
Just act as if you do.
Just act as if you do. It sort of turns our spiritual process on its head. Most people think, I have to feel the love, then I can act.
Lewis says the action comes first.
The action comes first, and often the feeling follows. If you behave charitably, you will presently find your affection for them increases. It's obedience first.
But hold on. If the feelings follow the action, isn't that just spiritual acting? Isn't that promoting hypocrisy?
That is the critical question, and Lewis addresses it. It all comes down to motivation. It is hypocrisy if you're doing it for self-glorification. If you're thinking, look what a fine, forgiving chap I am.
Or to make them feel indebted to you.
Right. People spot that motive instantly, and it just negates the whole thing.
So if the motive isn't self-praise, what is it?
Simple obedience. It's rooted in the divine basis for human value. Your neighbor, however unlikable, is self-made by God, and desiring its own happiness as we desire ours.
As we desire ours.
It's the template. The love we naturally have for ourselves becomes the standard for how we mistreat others.
You shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's all through scripture.
Constantly. And when you grasp that, it makes his next point even more sobering.
Okay. The consequences of not acting charitably, he calls it a vicious cycle.
He does. He used that grim historical example of the Germans ill-treating the Jews.
He said, the more cruel you are, the more you hate. And the more you hate.
The more cruel you become. It's a compounding spiritual debt.
That is such a powerful way to put it. The principle of compound interest applied to morality.
It is. He said, good and evil both increase at a compound interest. And this is why the little decisions we make every day are of such infinite importance.
I think that's the biggest takeaway for you listening right now. Lewis was speaking to troops during World War II.
And his analogy just drives it home. A small good act is like the capture of a strategic point.
Which leads to unforeseen victories later.
Right. And a small indulgence, a flash of anger, is the loss of a ridge or railway line from which the enemy launches future attacks.
So every day we are fighting a real spiritual battle, and the small choices matter.
They determine the entire landscape of our future self.
The message mentioned his own life experience. Being wounded in World War I, that context helps so much.
It explains everything. It explains why he applied this act-as-if rule even to loving God.
For when you just can't find the feelings.
Exactly. When you're in doubt or suffering, you ask, if I were sure that I loved God, what would I do?
And then you go and do that thing.
Just do it. And this all leads to his most comforting thought. God's love for us is a much safer thing to think about than our love for him.
Because his love isn't weighed down by our indifference.
Not at all. He describes it as relentless in its determination that we shall be cured. It's a love focused entirely on our sanctification.
And that idea of sanctification, of being cured, is the perfect bridge to John MacArthur.
It really is. Lewis gave us the command. Love is an act of the will. But now we need the wisdom and the discipline for applying that command today.
Because our world is not Lewis's wartime England.
Not even close. We need MacArthur's discernment. He emphasizes that true charity flows from a regenerated heart. It's an act of obedience.
God loves a cheerful giver.
But, and this is the hard part, what looks like cheerful compassion can actually enable destructive behavior.
So charity has to be directed toward real needs. It must not encourage laziness.
This is the difference between the unable and the unwilling. It's a hard truth from 2 Thessalonians. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat.
Our charity is for those in true hardship, not for those who choose to neglect their responsibility.
And that real-world story from The Message, the one about the deceitful man downtown,
yeah. It
illustrates this perfectly.
Such a crucial cautionary tale. He shows up, car broken down, has a little girl, it's cold.
And the church leaders, they're driven by compassion. They want to act. So they make a huge financial commitment, lodging, food, the whole nine yards.
But then they investigated.
And the whole story was just a web of manipulation. They were being expertly played.
When they offered him an actual job, a chance to work for the funds?
He refused. And that's the danger. Yeah. Were they truly loving him by subsidizing his deceptive lifestyle?
The lesson is so stark. Uninformed, purely emotional charity can reward laziness and, well, subsidize sin.
Which means our charity has to be principled, not just palliative.
So to keep it principled, MacArthur lays out a priority structure.
A foundation for discernment. First, you care for your own family. Second, your church family.
The body of Christ.
Then, and only then, do you move to broader charitable giving. This structure helps you avoid those emotional traps.
And it also defines the nature of our giving. MacArthur says it should be sacrificial.
Like the widow's mites.
Planned. From the first fruits, not just what's left over.
And this is so counter to our culture. It must be private.
No public recognition.
He is so resolute on this, citing Matthew 6. Yeah. Charity, done for prestige, for self-image.
Yeah.
It's not charity in God's eyes. Giving is an act of worship, done quietly before God.
And that idea, giving as worship, is the guardrail we need. It came up in the congregational discussion about the checkout line donation requests.
Oh, that pressure is real. It's designed to hit your emotions and your guilt.
It demands a spontaneous decision with no discernment.
But if you have this biblical structure in place, you can calmly decline those appeals. You know your giving is already planned, principled, and wise.
One final point on this, which is the distinction for the church itself.
So important. The church must lead in compassion, yes, but it can't lose its mission by becoming a social service agency.
The primary focus is the gospel, teaching scripture.
Always. And that's why when giving to those in need, the church itself should try to be the source of the charity, not just a middleman for a GoFundMe.
It demonstrates that the help is from the unified body of Christ.
Exactly. It plants a seed of truth and fulfills the higher mission of the church.
So here's the synthesis for you. Lewis provided the command. Love is an action of the will. It's obedience.
And MacArthur provided the discipline. That action must be biblical, discerning, and driven by a heart for God's glory.
In this darkening world, our actions really do have that compound spiritual interest.
Every small act of charitable will, done quietly and with wisdom, it adds to the good we achieve.
So if you are struggling today to feel love towards someone difficult, remember, Lewis, you have an opportunity to simply obey the command, to act, and to let God's love be proven through you.
And then consider how your planned, principled giving, your act of worship, can be leveraged. Not just to solve a need, but to plant a seed of God's truth in someone's life, fulfilling the ultimate mission of the church.